Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Sam.
Hi. Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scouts.
Sam's been forced into this little room as well.
Yes, she came willingly, but she is likely to stay.
Yeah. Everybody who comes in this room is likely to stay.
Yeah, it's a special room.
Yeah. Pray he doesn't give you a sack.
Yeah.
That's what you got to hope for, because you don't get a sack. If you get a sack, you're a resident now. You're like not just a visitor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
I should get like a sash or something, like just says just visitor.
Yeah.
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 That'd be cool. Knife puppy.
The knife puppy is a resident as well. She has a little sack on.
She's very happy.
She is happy with the sack. Much happier than I am. She has a hair. She has a hair suit to kind of block the damage the sack does.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
I mean, sacks want to be sacks.
Sacks on the skin.
Sack on the skin.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's weird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to dive in.
You're diving.
I'm diving.
Yep.
Unhinged from 2020.
Ooh.
I watched it on...
I think a lot of us became unhinged in 2020.
You ain't kidding. I watched this on April 8th. It's an hour 30, which is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie's not perfect, but it's okay.
That's okay.
Action thriller directed by Derek Borte.
Borte.
I believe that's what I wrote. Starring...
My son is also named Borte.
Oh. Starring Russell Crowe. Karen Pistorius, I'm guessing that's how that's pronounced.
Pistorius.
Gabriel Bateman. Now it doesn't matter. Your IMDb movie summary. After a confrontation with an unstable man at an intersection, a woman becomes the target of his rage.
Rage.
So this is the typical, don't cross me. This is like falling down on steroids, essentially.
Ooh.
And I love falling down.
Oh, well, it doesn't get much better than falling down.
It doesn't. Russell Crowe is an unbelievable bastard the entire movie.
Like Romper Stomper?
Yeah. I mean, this is...
He's not a Nazi, but
he's not a Nazi, right? Well, we don't know that he's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a more psychotic version of falling down, which I love way more than this. It does a good job of being uncomfortable.
Mm.
And most of the budget had to have gone into car wrecks. There is so much damage done to vehicles in this movie.
Nice.
So all it is this woman has an argument with a guy at an intersection, and he stalks her for the rest of the movie.
Nice.
You get a scene early on where Russell Crowe, and this is a big, fat, crazy Russell Crowe.
Nice.
You see him go into what is, you assume, is his wife's house, and there's another man in there.
Okay.
And you're under the impression that he already knew that. And he just hits everybody.
Wow.
This is a hard movie to watch. There is physical violence.
Wow.
And he just burns the whole place down and murders everybody.
My goodness.
So that happens early on, and they do that for two reasons. They show you how unhinged he is.
Yeah.
And the police are looking for him the whole movie as well.
Okay.
So you've got a couple of things going against each other at the same time.
Chase on chase.
Yeah. He's chasing this woman. He's tormenting her, following her son, and he's being chased by the cops. They can't really find him. He's switching vehicles.
Oh, interesting.
There's a lot, and he doesn't care if he gets caught, shot. He doesn't give a shit.
Right. He's just done.
He's taking it out on this woman because he was already done.
Yeah.
And then this woman set him off. And
right.
He gave her ample chances in his brain to apologize and everything would have been cool. And she didn't take it. She was just like, you know what? Fuck you, asshole.
Wow.
And he was like, mm-mm. Wrong person, wrong time.
Damn.
The length that Russell Crowe goes to get back at her is insane.
That sounds right. But the Hitcher?
Was that?
Like the Hitcher?
It is like the Hitcher.
Yeah.
I think they do a pretty good job of explaining how he manages to do it.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he's got the element of surprise, and like it's like, oh, he like takes her phone,
mm-hmm.
and because she left her car unlocked when she got gas or something, and
right?
He's like, all right, now I got your phone, I got all your information. He tracks her with like the Find My Phone app, like,
oh,
with
geez.
The iPad, like
yeah.
He does all kinds of smart when you think about it things.
Smart but terrifying.
Smartly terrifying, Russell Crowe. It is wild. And again, there is violence because there's moments where he does catch up with her. He's punching her. He's punching other people.
Holy shit.
The kid is like, I don't know, 12 or 13. He gets slapped around. Like,
damn.
This is an uncomfortable movie.
Yeah, geez.
I was very surprised to the level of this.
Yeah, they weren't afraid to go there.
They were not. And I think it pays off in a way. side.
Cool.
So IMDb gave it a 6.0. Fair.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics, 48% out of 200 critics. The audience, 77% out of 2,500 plus.
The mean old audience who loves to see people get battered.
They love that shit. I am going to give it the lowest score, which is a 4.5.
Ooh.
Mother-in-law gave it a 5.0. She's like, let's watch this one where Russell Crowe punch on people.
Yeah.
All right. Is it a documentary? got him.
Got him.
It's okay. It's just so tough to watch.
Yeah.
And I think given how tough it is to watch, I think it feels like it goes too long. It really doesn't.
Oh, certainly.
It really doesn't. It's just so much of a believable thing.
Absolutely. You have movies like The Hitcher and Joyride, things like that, that play on this kind of like tension, terror, road, kind of like you're running away, so you have all this open space to run away.
Yeah.
Makes it tough. And seeing a contemporary version is interesting, but if you said it's already tough when you're building that level of tension, but to pay off and know you're scaring people because of the level you're willing to go to in the film is interesting.
Right. I think it's worth watching. Like I said, I didn't rate it super high because it's hard for me, but I think it's worth just an experience
right.
to see it.
Absolutely. 2020.
Hey, 2020.
The Babysitter 2.
Oh.
Killer Queen.
Nice.
I watched this.
Sequel.
Yeah, I watched this in September of 2020. It is 1 hour and 41 minutes, and it's a horror comedy directed again by McGee, starring Jenna Ortega, Emily Alnlin, and Judah Lewis.
Emily's Alnlin.
Yeah, Lind. Lind. Whatever. Lind. It's Lind. If you recall, I liked the first one a lot.
Yeah, I'm curious because it left the question that does this follow the young girl again or if it follows the boy grown up kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see.
2 years after defeating a satanic cult led by his babysitter, B, Cole must once again outsmart the forces of evil when old enemies return.
What? He made enemies? Boy.
The soundtrack for this movie, both the songs they selected, the actual like the score track and the music track for this are fucking awesome.
Nice.
It's really good. I have now run out of good things to say about this film. It is a wretched pile of shit.
Oh, that stinks.
Mick G's done some movies that I like. Mick G's done some movies that I hate. This is amongst the larger number, probably, of Mick G efforts that I dislike. He's so much style and no substance. Anybody who read the script would have been like, this is in no way comparable to the first one. Mick G, however, is like, I love it. Let's do it. It's awful. It's so bad. It's like there's jokes where the kid pees and then he pees on somebody later on. And it's just like, this is awful. Like, I feel like the girl who just got peed on for no reason in this film by simply watching this film. That happens late enough in the movie. I couldn't just abandon it, though. Like, we were in. You watched it. Sam watched it with me.
Sam denies it.
It's awful. Like, the jokes are lazy. There's weird references that are, like, nonsensical to things that happened a long time ago. That I guess they're just trying to, like reference enough stuff to make somebody go, oh, I like that thing. Maybe I'll like this film.
Ugh.
It's bad. It's like confusing and the story doesn't like really like it's there, but it's like they choose to do a lot of like stopping the movie to do a thing. It's like so hyper stylized, which is a McGee-ism, but it's so bad. Do not waste your time. The first one's very good. This one is very ungood.
Oh, not ungood.
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 Straight up ungood. IMDb gives it a 5.8 out of 10 because they are drunk. Rotten Tomatoes critics, who are also drunk, all 40 of them, gave this 48%. The audience, who is straight up high, 500 plus, give it 61%. And I, a grounded, sober individual, give this 3 out of 10. Ooh. Sam's score is a 2 out of 10.
Yeesh.
It is awful, but Bear McCreary on the soundtrack and the score track, fantastic work.
Is that where most of the score comes from? The
yeah.
soundtrack and the score?
It's so good.
I
yeah.
love a
oh,
good
yeah.
score. A score can pull a movie up, for sure.
There's some definite scenes that get hyped up by the energy and interest by the soundtrack. And then, like, Mick G, he's a music video guy, right? So, like, some of the stuff, that there's a couple cool moments. Like, oh, that's neat. The rest of it is garbage, though, man. Like, it's bad. Like, you could listen to a sound. You could just pull out the songs from the soundtrack, listen to that, and, like, watch a compilation of people getting killed from horror movies. You'd have a better time than this.
Jeez.
Okay, that's wretched.
Yeesh.
Suck it, McG.
Suck it! But if you want to come on the podcast and talk to us about The Babysitter 2, you're more than welcome.
No, we'll talk about something else, McG. We'll talk about something else.
Max might, but I want to talk specifically about The Babysitter 2.
Yikes. Come on, McG, you can't handle this.
You can't handle talking about this piece of crap,
No,
can
I'll
you,
tear
McG?
You down. No, you can't defend this. You cannot defend this film.
What if we did that and he was just like, yeah, it's shite. Just shite.
Hey, I mean, again, like you say all the time, sell out for cheap.
Oh, yeah.
No disrespect to him for making the movie. I'm sure he made a decent amount of money off of it.
Yeah.
He can't tell me, like, you know what I mean, to my face that I thought this was a great script. He's lying. He's a liar if he said you're a liar if you say that.
Shout out, kids. You gotta sell out cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. Sell out, but don't lie. Be honest. Yeah. If you're making garbage because you got lots of money, like they gave me lots of money to make garbage, I'm down. I'd do the same thing.
Hell yeah. Anybody out there wants me to make you some garbage, let me know.
No shame. But don't lie and try to tell me you think it's good.
Unless you're paying me to lie.
You call it, yeah, well, all right, fair enough. But yeah, you got to call that turd a turd.
My loyalties can also be bought. So next movie is a good one.
Ooh, I like good movies.
Yes, I hadn't heard of this one.
Okay.
But it's pretty decent. It's from 2012. Seven Psychopaths.
Ooh.
Are you familiar?
I know the name. Yes, I'm pretty sure I'm familiar. I haven't seen it, but it won, I think, the advertising. Is Tom Waits in this movie?
I don't think Tom Waits was in this movie.
No? I'll have to look it up real quick.
Now I'm like, where was Tom Waits?
I'll look it up while you're talking about it.
I watched this on April 10th. It's an hour 50. It is a comedy crime movie directed by Martin McDonagh. He did In Bruges.
Yes.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. This movie features Colin Farrell, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, and Christopher Walken. And they're all incredibly awesome.
Yeah, all those people are incredibly awesome.
To get them all together is a treat. IMDb movie summary. A struggling screenwriter inadvertently.
Tom Waits. Plays a character called Zachariah.
I don't even remember this.
Yep.
I think that might be the goon guy. Well, Tom sense. Waits great.
Tom Waits is a goon guy too.
Everybody take a minute and check out some Tom Waits.
Oh, do yourself a favor.
Yeah, he's great. A struggling screenwriter inadvertently becomes entangled in the Los Angeles criminal underworld after his oddball friends kidnap a gangster's beloved Shih Tzu.
Yep.
Bullet points. This is a wild Sam Rockwell performance. He outshines everyone. And everyone else is awesome.
I was going to say that to say he outshines the rest of that cast is insane.
I love Sam Rockwell. This put him a couple steps higher in my
unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's so good. Amazing psychopath story about a rabbi who was wronged. Farrell is a drunk and gives no fucks.
I like that.
Which works for his character, or he just really doesn't care about his actions. Like, whatever. He is actually a... he's writing a story called Seven Psychopaths.
Okay.
So that's where the name comes from. And he's like having writer's block, and he's had some success before. So he's like at Hollywood parties.
That's cool.
Sam Rockwell's his friend. Christopher Walken is Sam Rockwell's friend.
Oh, interesting.
And Woody Harrelson is the gangster who Shih Tzu gets taken from him.
That's cool.
He's a great mob boss character and being a dick to absolutely everyone.
Nice.
Woody Harrelson, pretty good.
That's cool.
Walken's performance is pretty heartfelt for this weird movie. He's just good and weird. So he's writing a story and he's trying to come up with these seven psychopaths, and everything he comes up with is kind of garbage and he's got nothing. So then he's talking to Sam Rockwell, and Sam Rockwell's like, I heard about this one guy one time, and he tells him a story of him. And he's like, all right, maybe I can adapt something like that into my story. And he's going through it. The rabbi story is amazing. It's about a guy who I think he kills the rabbi's daughter. I don't remember if he raped her, but it's like he murdered this guy's daughter. And the guy was Mormon, Amish, something.
Okay.
So he stalks him. And everywhere this guy goes, even though he did his time in jail, he got out. Everywhere he goes, he looks out the window, there he is.
Nice.
He goes to the supermarket, there he is. And he does it. And he finally is like, I can't get it. He starts losing it. So he looks out the window and there he is.
Yeah.
So he slices his throat and he's like, well, now I'll go to hell. You won't be there. It was a rabbi. Rabbi, that was important to it. He's like, you won't go to hell. And the rabbi sees him do it and he takes out a knife and he cuts his own throat. Suicides go straight to hell.
Nice.
It is wild.
That's cool.
This movie, I don't want to tell you too much more about it because there's so much going on, but they kidnap a dog. It's the wrong dog to take.
That's cool.
It sets off a wild, just unbelievable chain of events. And Sam Rockwell is bonkers.
That's awesome.
Absolutely bonkers. So check it out. I think it's a great movie. I think I might have overhyped it. Let's see. I don't remember my score. No, it's fine.
I was going to say.
It's right, fine.
It's a 4.5.
It's a 4. Sam Rockwell is a douche. No. IMDb gave it a 7.2. 219 critics reviewed it to an 83%.
Nice.
100,000 plus gave it a 71%.
Hmm.
I gave it a 7.
Nice.
And the mother-in-law gave it a 7.5.
Nice.
The movie's solid.
Very cool.
It could be improved upon in little ways, but you're not going to predict a lot of what happens, and you're going to enjoy it.
None of those ways are Sam Rockwell, I can tell you that.
Sam Rockwell is unhinged in the most beautiful way in this
That's
movie.
That's awesome. He's often the best part of a lot of movies.
I agree. Just watch Moon.
Watch Moon.
Watch Moon while listening to some Tom Waits.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine?
I watched a movie.
Ooh.
It's from 1999. Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, wait, is this the one that's got the walk-ins?
That's him.
Oh, he looks so cool in this.
He does. He got fangs.
He does.
He, yeah, Christopher Walken dot the latter half of this podcast.
Yeah.
I watched this in September of 2020. It's 1 hour and 46 minutes. The genre is horror. It's directed by old Timmy Burton.
Hey, that guy.
Starring Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci, and the Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Movie summary, Constable Ichabod Crane is sent to Sleepy Hollow to investigate the decapitations of three people and a rumor that the culprit is a legendary apparition known as the Headless Horseman.
Doom, doom, doom.
My thoughts on this movie is, this is like pretty much like if somebody was like, draw me a picture of Tim Burton, that is Tim Burton, it would be a scene from this film.
Sure.
It is like purples and blacks, and it's gothic, and it's dreary but beautiful.
A lot of fog.
A lot of fog, a lot of like flourishes and accents, like beautifully horror gothic. Like it's idealized gothic horror. And that's very a Tim Burton kind of sense to me.
For sure.
Like, I feel like there's that version of Tim Burton, and then there's the Beetlejuice way out there, lime green, pink. You know what I mean? Like, there's those two ends of it. And I feel like that's kind of, on this one, obviously, he leans very hard into the horror.
And as he should.
Definitely. I think Christopher Walken's a solid choice for the Hessian as
Oh my God, he's so good.
He looks so good with the crazy piercing blue eyes and the fangs, and he looks horrifying. It's like, you're almost like, I'd rather deal with the headless one, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool. I think everybody does a nice job in this. The cast is great. I think Depp is really fun as this character. I was the right age for this movie, though.
Sure.
Definitely, like, old enough where it's like, oh, it's so interesting. Like, he had this, like, apothecary bag of, like, steampunky bullshit that's like, oh, it's neat. He's got, like, little goggles and shit. Like, I think that's pretty neat. He's got forceps before they started using forceps and all this cool shit. Interesting to kind of change the character from Ichabod being a school teacher into being a constable. Really interesting, and they kind of can't stand him, so they send him out to Sleepy Hollow just to get him out of their hair. Is a really interesting little twist to it. I think it works overall. It's not the best thing ever. It definitely can be a bit bland at times and very like, it's horror, right. But some of the effects and the visuals they were doing for this at this time was really interesting. The ad campaign was great. If you went to the theater, this was everywhere. It was on your popcorn bags. Yep. It was like, there are three posters. There was the giant oversized cardboard cutout in the lobby for this film. This marketing was nuts for this film.
Yeah, man. For sure.
But it's fun. The music's cool. Christina Ricci's great. I think Johnny Depp's good. Yeah, she's good in this one. Overall, it's solid. It's a fun watch, I think. I think people tend to go back. And I think Tim Burton Burton has such strong work in his body of work, I think those are the artists that tend to get beat up a little bit when they do one that's like all right. And I think this one isn't all right.
I agree.
But I think people really beat him down when he does an all right film because it's Tim Burton. This is the guy who did Beetlejuice. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be great. He's done so many great films. It's like, he's done a couple. Like, it's all right. Like, I like Batman. I like Beetlejuice. I like, you know what I mean, a lot of his earlier stuff. I love Pee Wee. But, you know, it's pretty good. IMDb is at a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 122 of them, give them the second best possible score you can get.
Nice.
Yeah, 69%. Audience, 250,000 plus, give it 80%. And I, who am incapable of giving a 6.9 on the podcast,
I told you it was fun.
Give it a 6.5 out of 10.
That's fair.
Pretty good. It's a good fun watch.
Yeah, I was debating going back and watching this one because it's been a while.
It came up on Netflix. I'm like, oh, I like this movie. I'll watch this. This is fun.
Yeah. Walken's so good. I just always remembered Walken just really, because at first you're like, I don't know. That could go horribly good or horribly wrong.
And yeah.
No, he crushes it, man.
Yeah, it's very good. Very fun.
You're very good. Very fun.
I try.